this week. When Brother Dwayne asked me after the service last Sunday, I said, well, before you y'all decide, y'all need to talk to your preacher. And so Brother Randy called me and said, well, we can't get anybody else, so if you'll come, we sure would appreciate it. No, he didn't say that, but it's good to be with y'all. And I like the fact that y'all have a clock back there that I can watch. That's wise, and I'm glad it's not back here when I'm preaching, so because that might tell me, or I might be able to see you looking at it and telling me. It'd be kind of like my wife does sometimes. She does this like every once in a while when she's out there, and she wishes she could be here, but the church that I left, my family still goes there. I have grandchildren and a son that's involved in the ministry there, and a son-in-law, and my daughter's really involved, and I have a 13-year-old grandson that's very close to being saved, so she kind of felt like she needed to be there, and that's where I'd be if I wasn't here, but I'm glad to be here with you. It is an honor. I enjoyed being with you last week, and don't know all your names, but I'm working on it. I think that's important. I was talking to someone back there, and next to the name of Jesus, the name most of us like to hear the most is our own. It's important to us. And so I think that, and I tell you what I believe the Lord knows every one of our names. That means a lot to me. You know, and when I get to heaven, I think he'll say, welcome home, Johnny. Yeah, and that'll be the sweetest time, that'll be the sweetest person that ever said my name. And I look forward to that someday. If you have your Bibles this morning, I wish you'd turn with us to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And I don't know the circumstance of every soul that's here this evening. Brother Randy has made mention that some of you here, no doubt, that do not know the Lord. And I want to say this. If you do not, if you've never been saved, however old you are, my daughter got saved when she was 7 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought. Of course, I was there. When I saw her, I was preaching on a Wednesday night. She was sitting about four pews back, well, about two pews behind Sister Oaks there. And she was playing with Barbies. It was a Wednesday night. Yeah, that's what I thought, too, because I didn't think she was paying attention. But when I got through preaching, she turned around and was looking at me when I made the altar call, and she was three shades of white. And I thought, what in the world is the matter with her? I saw her peel out and go back and get her mama. Her mama was sitting on the back row holding my son, and bless her heart, he was a handful. You know, he was one of those, you know, one time when she was disciplined, he was heading out the door, she was carrying him out the door, and he said, y'all pray for me, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, because you know what she's going to do to me. So she was a handful. Well, anyway, she handed my son off, and my daughter grabbed her by the hands, and they came down to the altar, and she began her search for God. And it wound up good, really good, and I'll probably say more about that. So age, someone might say, well, I believe they got to be 12 or they got to be 13. I'll tell you what you got to be. You got to realize you lost, whatever that is. If it's 7 or 10, I was 13, 10 when I realized I was lost. My son was 10, and I don't know how old you were if you've been saved. But if you haven't been saved, you need to be saved, okay? I say, Lily, you probably about 7 or 8, somewhere in there? 6, okay, 6. So you listen good tonight, all right? And anyone else here that's unsaved, I think that's very important that you listen. You have your Bibles. I'm going to begin in the first verse of the 10th chapter of the Roman letter. And I'll mention my topic, Lord willing, in just a little while. This is the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to tell you something that I believe about the book of Romans. I believe the book of Romans will make you a Baptist probably better than any other book in the Bible. I believe it explains as well as any book what we believe is Baptist people. Very doctrinal. And the Apostle Paul had a desire to go to Rome to preach to them. He'd never been there. All right? So he really gives them the doctrine. All right? Then when he gets to this 10th chapter, and I tell you what he's doing, he's talking about how many of the Jews have missed the mark. They didn't understand who Jesus was and how precious that he was. And you and I have been saved, we understand. But if you haven't been saved, even though you're here tonight, and you've been, maybe your children that have been brought up and you've been in Sunday school, you still really don't understand who Jesus is. And the Apostle Paul, what he's going to do in this lesson here is he's going to share with us who Jesus is, and he's going to share with how you and I can come to know him, how we can be saved, and what it takes. And he does a wonderful job with it. And he's talking to the Jew here, he's talking to the church at Rome, but he's talking about how the Jewish people have missed the mark, that they don't understand who Jesus is. And what I want to say here tonight, if you're not saved, you don't either. You need to listen. And you need to let the Holy Spirit of God reveal to you who he is. Because the most important thing in the world that ever happened to you is to get saved. You make a lot of mistakes in life, and you can miss a lot of marks, and you can fail in a lot of things, but you don't want to fail at this. You want to have a time and a place like Brother Oaks prayed about. I got one of those, Brother Oaks, and if you've been saved, you do too. If you don't, you need one tonight. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, talking to those that are saved there in the Roman church, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. He says that because many of them are not saved. They have not believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For us to have a great revival, you and I have got to have a desire to see people saved. I was talking to someone back there about my wife. And what I was saying is when I was dating in high school, I went to church every Sunday and Wednesday night, and we were just involved. And even though I'm like most teenagers, I strayed a little bit. Whenever I got serious about a gal, I realized I had to take her to church. You say, well, why'd you do that, Brother Johnny? I said, because that's where I was going to go. That's where I was going to live my life. I was going to live my life in the house of the Lord, and I wanted a woman to come with me, all right? And I don't mind telling you, I grew up in a church where they shouted the house down just about every Sunday morning. My mama and my granny were two of them that did that. Had that tall hair, and honey, they'd get happy in the Lord. And what I'd do is I would take my girlfriend to church, and on the way to church, I'd say, Lord, please don't let nobody shout this morning. This poor girl, it'll scare her to death. And sure enough, we'd get in a church house, and they'd start shouting, and I'd be rejoicing with them. I wouldn't even care. And on the way home, I'd have to explain to them what happened. Oh, but it was good. And my friends, I don't mind telling you, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she got saved. My best friend, Rocky, got saved. And I tell you what, there's nothing in the world like having a desire to see people saved. And there's nothing in the world. I told you last Sunday about the 30-year-old boy that got saved, big old husky boy. Bless his heart, his brother hugged me this morning. I got to go to McFerrin, and I wanted to let him know why I wasn't going to be there. And he hugged me. His brother hugged my neck and said, every time I see you, I say, I'd like to hug you too. Folks, there's nothing in the world like seeing somebody saved. I like to hear about everybody being saved. I've been praying for Brother James King's kids, and it's good to hear another one of his sons got saved. Isn't it good? You see, it needs to be the desire of the heart of God's people to see people saved. I wish the whole world was saved. And you and I, as God's people, we need to have that desire. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So what is the problem? Why are people lost? Why are you not saved here tonight? Someone said, well, I'm not old enough. Well, if you're hearing me and you're understanding what I'm saying, how do you know if you're not old enough? Or you may think, well, I've been a sinner too long. There's a lot of different reasons, but I can tell you, first of all, the reason a lot of people aren't saved is they don't feel like they need to be saved. We live in a world today, people don't think, well, I'm just really not that bad a person. Folks, let me explain something to you. The Bible does a wonderful job of letting us know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved. There's just no doubt about that. So for one thing tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, don't think that you don't need to be saved. You do. And again, thank the Lord that he's given you another opportunity tonight. However old you are, I tell you what, It took me 3 years to find the Lord. No, it didn't. It took me one prayer. It was that 3 years to get to that prayer that it took. But I'm so thankful tonight that God was merciful to me. It wasn't God's fault. You know, as a matter of fact, the next thing it says here, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I grew up that little boy that wanted to always do what mama said. Oh, yeah, I was a good little boy. Matter of fact, I was the teacher's pet. My mama said, my friends used to get aggravated at me, and I'd say, well, why? I don't know what the problem is. My mom and daddy taught me to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, be respectful. So the teachers liked me. And so I was always one of those that always tried to do the right thing. So, you know, when I was praying to get saved, I'd tell the Lord what a good fellow I was. I can remember thinking, I'm done here, Lord, you saved my cousin. She's a whole lot meaner than I am. Why don't you save me? You know, that's sometimes, you know, and nobody taught me that. It's just the way that I thought. And you see, tonight you either think you don't need to be saved, or you have a zeal that you want to serve God. But you know what? Even as I want to do it my way. I want to go into this Sunday school class, and I want to sing this song. No, that's not how you get saved. You get saved when you surrender your heart to the Lord, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few moments. Then he says, "For I bear them record that they have." "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." What I hope to be able to share with you tonight is how to get saved, what it feels like to be lost, and what it means to be saved. And God's people, my prayer for you is please have a burning desire tonight to see people saved. Oh, I tell you what, my little girlfriend, I'll never forget Miss Jill. Yeah, our first date, and y'all love this, I was a quarterback and she was a cheerleader. Our first date was 1st September in 1972, right after the ball game. Buddy, I couldn't believe how lucky she was to have me too. You know what? Y'all know better than that. I married up. She's the best thing that ever happened to me besides Jesus, and I tell her that all the time. But she came to church with me, and Brother Robert Gregg was the preacher then. He's one of those preachers come out of the pulpit all the way down and walked right by her, and he made the statement, "How do you know?" There are many people say that, "How do we know that there is a God?" And she looked at me. She just had asked me, "How do you know there's a God?" Well, I fumbled through it all and told her about how I got saved, but I didn't do a good job. And she just poked me and said, "What'd you say to him?" Well, I didn't say anything. It's God. After that service, she made her way down to an altar of prayer and had a good cry, didn't get satisfied, went home in her bed that night and made peace with God. Oh, folks, ain't nothing like it. Yeah. And you know what? She makes me a better Bible student. She studies her Bible more than I do, and I thank God for that. What I want you to see tonight, my friends, is have a zeal for God is not enough. We got to talk about what we need to do to be saved. And then you see, then the next thing he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You see, they felt proud and self-righteous. We live in that world today, don't we? It's America. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud because whether they think we are or not, doesn't make any difference to me. I know we're a Christian nation. I understand. If I had time, I'd read, and maybe this week I will. But we were established on Christian principles. Folks, for this nation to be established like it was, y'all think about this now. The British Army was the most powerful army in all the world. And you know who whipped that army? A bunch of farmers that had their musket hanging over their fireplace. Now, you make sense of that, my friends. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the God of glory wanted a free nation, and there were many of those men that believed in God and wanted a nation of freedom so they could worship God according to the dictates of their hearts. Now, I wish every one of us were Baptist. I wish the whole world was Baptist, but you know what? I would fight and die for the right for a man to die and go to hell if that's what he wants to do. But you know what I'll do? Everything I can to keep him out of hell. That's what Brother Robert Gregory said one time. And it stuck with me. I believe the greatest freedom we have today outside of salvation is the free will. We can reject God if we want to. Oh, but I don't understand why anybody would want to. Oh, Lord, no. My friend, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Are you kidding me? That Jesus that we sang about tonight? Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to someday to hug his neck. I hope he'll let me crawl up in his lap and ask him 1,000 questions. Oh, let me tell you something, my friends. Our self-righteousness won't get us there. And they see that's every other religion. And I want you to see that, because this is what the Bible says. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, they misunderstood the righteousness of God. Even the law. It's amazing. You know, God gave Israel the law. And the whole purpose of the law was not that you and I could live the Ten Commandments. Oh, my goodness. You know what the Bible says about the Ten Commandments? I love the Ten Commandments. I believe every law of the land ought to be based on the Ten Commandments. But the purpose of the Ten Commandments was not for you and I to be able to live righteous lives based on doing what it says and be holy enough to get to heaven. Oh, no. 1,000 no. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, let me explain that. For Moses described the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That's Leviticus 18:5. In other words, the law was to, here's what you're supposed to do. You know what the Jews would say? Well, we've been living by it. We're doing it. Oh, no, you weren't. Are you kidding me? You know what Jesus said? Let's just look at thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, we all know what that is, and the kids don't, but anyway, they'll understand someday. But you know what Jesus said? He took it just a little bit farther. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says, if you look on a woman and in your heart you lust after her, you know what he said that was? That's adultery. Oh, you're kidding me, Brother Johnny. Well, I ain't got a chance. You got that right. If you're trying to do it on your own righteousness, you hadn't got a chance. That's what he's talking about there. Oh, no. I tell you what, someone said, well, in the Old Testament, they had to live good enough to get saved. You show me where that is. It's not in there. Oh, no. Psalmist David in Psalms 116, you know what the Bible said about him? He said, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. What's that sound like to you? Sounds like conviction to me. Yeah, that's what that was all about. Let me go on. But the righteousness which is of faith, speak of them this wise. Say not in thine heart, who hath ascended up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that word of faith which we preach. Now, let me explain that now. Oh, I like this. You know what this is talking about? He's talking about the commandment. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus Christ is the living word. So this is pointing to the fact we don't have to go to heaven to know that Jesus is real. We don't have to go to the grave to know that Jesus is real. We know that Jesus is real because the Word of God says that He's real for those of us that have been saved. Because how is it that we're saved? Are we saved by works? Are we saved by what good deed we did? No. We heard the gospel. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what I want you to see, they misunderstood the purpose of the law. You know what the law's purpose is? You know what the Ten Commandments are for? To show you and me just how mean we are. The Bible says in the third chapter of Galatians, the law is a schoolmaster, the 24th verse, chapters 3, verse 24. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. You know what it says over in James? James says, if a man keep the whole law, all of it, yet offend in one point, you know what he's guilty of? It all. He's a goner. He's a goner outside of Jesus, but Jesus is the end of the law. Praise His holy name. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law. That's what made Him such a perfect sacrifice. Praise His holy name. When He went to Calvary, my friend, there wasn't no sin. Oh, no. And there wasn't no sin in His birth. God placed His seed in that little virgin. So He did not have the Adamic curse on Him. He lived sinless and perfect, my friend. Then He went to Calvary. Could have called the legions of angels to save Him. How would He tell Pilate? Are you kidding me? He said, all I got to do is snap my fingers. And you know what? You and I probably would have. We probably said, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I've changed. I'm going to tell you, when you in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's thinking about what's fixing to happen here, you know what? I wouldn't be in any hurry for that to happen, would you? Oh, no. I believe I'd give my life for my kids. I love y'all, but I don't know. You know, I'd try hard, Brother Oaks, but no. I'm going to tell you what. When we were in due sin, when we were sinners in due season, you know what the Bible says? Jesus Christ died for you and me. You know what I love so much about Jesus? Oh, my goodness, Brother Ray. Do you know that He knows everything about me? Thank heavens y'all don't. He knows everything about Johnny Carver, but because of the blood of Jesus, He looks on me and He sees me just as though I've never seen. That's justification. That's what Jesus did. Praise his holy name, folks. We can praise him till now, till he splits the eastern skies. But no, rest assured today, you and I don't misunderstand the law. We understand the purpose of the law. Now, I want to read a passage of scripture if I can real quick here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm all over the place. I hope I'm keeping you here with me. Listen to what Moses said to the children of Israel. If people want to say, oh, they had to live by the law to get saved, that's not how they got saved. Listen to what God told Moses to write in Deuteronomy 30 and 6, if you got your Bibles and want to read with me. And Lord thy God, this is Moses speaking, will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about salvation. Yeah, they had to get saved just like you and me. Yeah, they had the law. But the only way they could even come close to living by the law is to understand that God had a sacrifice coming. And he would empower him. You and I can live the law. We still fail. But you know, you and I can live the law. The Bible said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yeah, we can fulfill the law now. We don't fulfill the law to be saved, but we need to fulfill the law because we are saved. Big difference. Big difference. You know why? You got the power of God that empowers you. Praise his holy name. I tell you what. I asked his little boy one time, how did he know he was saved? You know what he said? He said, I was there. I like that, don't you? I don't know about you. Oh, I do know about you if you've been saved. If you know you're saved, you know why you know you're saved? You was there. Yeah, praise his holy name. I like it that way, don't you? I can't understand anybody talking about being saved and can't feel that they got anything. I'm going to tell you what I think. I don't believe they got anything. Because I tell you what, a mind, as the Bible says, the path of the just shineth more and more to the perfect day. Well, it gets a little brighter all the time, Brother Brian. Yeah, it does. Now, don't get me wrong. I told you last Sunday, I'm not walking up along the River Jordan looking for a place to cross. But I tell you, when my time comes, though, I'll jump in his arms or I'll ride the angel's wings or whatever it is, however I'll get there, and I'll be ready for it. My Aunt Linda just went on to be with the Lord. I don't mind telling y'all, folks, I've had a rough year. My mama died January the 6th. My son had a serious stomach operation in April, and we thought we was going to lose him, the one that's a preacher. And he's still with us, and I thank God every day for that. My Aunt Linda just went to be with the Lord. She was sitting up in the bed and doing fine. That afternoon, the Lord took her on to glory. I'm going to tell you what I believe. God doesn't make any mistakes. It was time. You see, that's why it's important. If you're not saved, you need to be ready. You don't have any idea if you've got tomorrow. No, siree. Let us read on here now. And I want to get to the part where you understand how souls get saved. How do they get saved? Well, and again, how does this all come about? How does the power of God deal with them? Let's see what the Bible says here. I love this passage of Scripture. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, verse 8 of the 10th chapter, and in thine heart, that word of faith which we preach. Now, listen to what he says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? How? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That has nothing to do with the works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, which any man should boast. We cannot boast. How are we saved? By putting our faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that seems pretty simple. And you know what worries me sometimes is people take this and then they try to lead people in a sinner's prayer and get them saved. Now let me tell you something. Real salvation is a heart thing. I'm going to tell you what I believe God did when he created man. And he didn't do it when he created apes or giraffes or trees or anything else. God created man for relationship with him. All right? And Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship. And it was wonderful. It was walking in the cool of the day, kind of wonderful relationship. And Adam could ask God anything. Adam didn't have to ask him a lot because he was so brilliant. But he asked God and he was with God all the time. But then all of a sudden he disobeyed the one thing God not asked him not to do. And what happened is that Adamic curse got us all. And whether you like it or not, you and I are sinners by birth. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Now let me give you an example. You take a 2-year-old and you put a candy jar right there that he can reach. And you say, "Don't you dare," and look in your knife, you know, "No, no." And you turn your head, what's gonna happen? Honey, there won't be no candy left. It's our nature. It is. And that's why we need Jesus. Now, thank the Lord, we don't have a consciousness of it, and we're not real sure about it, and so we're under grace. David told us about that when his child died. And he said, "I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him." We're under the grace of God until when? Listen to me now. Do you realize you're lost? And some say, "What is that, 12? I'll tell you what, they're a lot smarter now than they were when I was a kid. Okay? So I don't know. But I do know this. You'll know the very minute you're lost. I did. I remember 10 years old. I'd been playing all day long. I was sitting back with Brother Brian, sitting in a church house down in Madison, Tennessee. And I was just oblivious to everything. He's praying all over the church house. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? You know, I'll get saved when it's time. My mama come over to me and said, "You better start paying attention." And all that money. All of a sudden, I begin to think, "Oh, no, I don't know. I don't have that." Buddy, the burden of sin hit me like a ton of bricks. Really, Brother Johnny? Is that the first time? Oh, no. I've been taught all my life how to be saved. I knew. You know what they say? When you feel that burden, you'll know you're lost. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, how does that work now? All right, now let's go on. Let's read on. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, that's how you get saved. Believe in who? In Jesus. That's how you get saved. Let's talk about what happens here. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now let me stop here. Well, now let me read the next verse. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now think about this a minute now. You know what he's saying here? There is some benefit in being a Jew, naturally. It just is. Jesus Christ was a Jew, and they had the first. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was going to a city to preach, he preached to the Jews first. Then he preached to the Gentiles. Told disciples to do the same thing. But then there came a time when all that laid aside. Okay? 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. That's a whole other. I'm sure your pastor talked to you about that. But now all of us fit in that category. Everybody could be saved then. But the Jews got to hear the gospel first. That's just the way it was. You know, Brother Brian, you know what they would probably call that white privilege or something nowadays. Isn't it crazy? Because they got it first. Are you kidding? I don't care how. Just as long as we got it, I don't care. It's amazing to me. You know what? I live in the land of opportunity, not the land of giveaway. I don't understand the way people think. We live in a land of privilege because God afforded that to us. Because the Bible says all nations and kings that forget God will be what? Cast into hell. You know all that means is God's judgment to come on. But if they're acknowledging God, you know what God will do? He'll send the rain, and they'll find the gold and all the good things. So anyway, what this is talking about here is whosoever. I don't care. And you know what? You live in America, you're liable to have 14 different kinds of ethnic to you. I mean, you know what that means to God? Nothing. What God's concerned about now is what you do with Jesus. Now, how does this work, Brother Johnny? And I'm about to bring it to an end here. Hang in there with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, oh Lord, save me. That's not what that's talking about. It's calling us means getting with it. It's realizing your condition and then doing something about it. Well, how does that happen, Brother Johnny? Listen to how it happens. I love this. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed?" Well, how do you know to call on the Lord? If you've not believed, and then listen, but and you've got to believe to be saved. Listen, and how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? Do you know how important it is for you in this day and age to share with others what Jesus did for you? You know, when I was a kid growing up, when you mentioned Moses to my friends, they knew who he's talking about. I'll guarantee you right now, you talk to 10 people about Moses, and they'll look at you like you're from a different planet. Yeah, and David and Goliath and all those folks. Let me tell you something. We're a Christian nation. Did y'all know for the first time, up until about a year or two ago, that when people would ask if they believed in God, it was almost 100% said they believed in God. You know what the percentage is now?
81%. Now you say, well, that's not that big. It is a big deal.
It is, right.
That means 2 out of 10 people don't believe there's a God. Now, can you imagine in America, people like that? That's why you and I need to understand. People need to hear about, don't you assume they understand about Jesus. They don't. People don't know who Jesus is anymore. Amen. Oh, yeah, he was a prophet. My Jesus wasn't. My Jesus was much more than a prophet. Amen. Listen to what it, now listen to how they hear about it now. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. Ah, let me tell you what's got to happen for somebody to be saved. They got to hear the gospel. Oh, my friends, and not necessarily from a preacher. That's what he's talking about. And you need preachers. Oh, the preachers need to stay the course. And you got a good one. God bless him. He understands and knows what it's all about. But I'm going to tell you what the greatest preachers do is they don't have to do all the preaching and all the teaching about Jesus. They're able to share with the congregation how important it is for you to do the same thing. Yeah. You know what I hear sometimes grandma say? Well, I just don't want to run him off, so I don't want to worry him. Well, you worry the snot out of him, if you excuse my French. You talk to him about the Lord all the time. I tell you what, folks, I grew up, and I heard my mama's salvation experience many times. I could tell it better than she could. Yeah. She'd get to tell it, she'd get happy, and she'd shout a while, and she'd tell more about it. By that old white-haired preacher, let me tell you, let me just share it with you. I'm not much about sharing anybody else's salvation experience, but I'm going to share your mama's because I heard enough, I can tell you about it, all right? She was a 13-year-old girl and never had heard the name Jesus that she can remember in her lifetime. Can you imagine back then? That would have been, oh my goodness, 1950, okay? She went to a Nazarene tent meeting. Nazarene Presbyterian, I don't know, one of them. And all she can remember about the preacher is he's a white-haired preacher. I don't know all about the white-haired preacher, okay? And she said, he began to preach. And all of a sudden, something hit me, Mama said. Preaching about this Jesus. And I went down to the altar to pray. You know what she said? She said, when I got down to pray, I didn't even know what to do. I'd never heard anybody pray for in my life, 13 years old. And I heard somebody down on the other end say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And I began to say, Lord, save me. Well, my Uncle Kenny got saved and shouted the house down. Okay? Mama got saved. You know what she said? She said, it's like a voice spoke to her and said, Brother Ryan, she said, Carol, what are you crying about? Everything's all right. And she said, it's been all right ever since. That's what she said every time. It's been all right ever since. I just love it. But bless her heart. She's dancing in the presence of the Lord like she used to shout. She just danced. Oh, my goodness, folks. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Not all of us had one of those. I had one of those get peace salvation. I didn't get enough, I didn't think. You know how much you get? What the Lord wants you to have. And you know what salvation is? Salvation is peace with God. And I'll tell you what, it's getting sweeter and sweeter all the time, Brother Dwayne. It's so sweet now. Sometimes I just taste the lips of Jesus. It's just so good. I tell you what, I'd rather be saved than anything. And all the extras been awesome, folks. And you know why? Because I heard the gospel. Some of those precious feet, my grandmother and my mama prayed to me. I tell you one time, and I'm about done. I'm already gone over time, I know. I remember I was out praying one hot summer day, and I came in to get a drink of water, and I could hear something. Time I was seeking the Lord, and my brother was seeking the Lord. One time, my mama had 3 seeking the Lord at one time. Three oldest. I'd hear something back in the back room. I eased down the hallway. And there's my mama down beside the bed. He said, oh Lord, and save John, and save Dave, and save Joyce. You know what? We're all saved. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and all on our way to glory. You know why? Because we heard the gospel. And you know why that's so important? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how you get saved. Yeah, you hear the gospel. Let me tell you the gospel in the shorts tonight. In due season, God sent his only begotten son to a little virgin, 16-year-old, and she couldn't explain it to all of them around, but it didn't make no difference. God made the plan. Our Savior was born, grew up holy and sinless. His knees skinned. He bled. He got his feelings hurt just like you and me. Then by the age of 30, he began his journey of preaching his own glorious gospel. During that time, he established his church. Thank God we're part of it, and we can tell the world about it. And then when time came, 33 and a third years after he began his ministry, it came time in the Garden of Gethsemane. He got it all settled with the flesh.
Right.
Yeah, he did. Then you know what he did? He took a beating that you and I too, what I believe, that when he stood there before he went to the cross, he was probably beaten to the point that if you didn't know who he was, you couldn't recognize him.
Amen.
I didn't say a word. And you know what? He laid there and let them drive the nails. The post went in the ground, probably tore a little bit as he did. And there he hung for that next few hours. And then when it was all said and done, he said, "It's finished."
Yeah.
And you know what? The Father looked upon the travail of his soul. You know what he said? It was satisfied.
Amen.
How you know, Brother Johnny? Because the tomb was empty.
Amen.
You know, he used a borrowed tomb because he knew he wasn't going to need it very long, Brother Dwayne. Just 3 days. On that third day, well, glory, he rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and grave. Yeah. And Brother Wayne, that's why I'm saved. That's why I'm saved. And tonight, you know what? Brother William Overton, Brother Eugene Brown, those godly men preached Jesus to me. I realized I was lost, and I saw him until I found him. Precious to my soul. And if you ever get saved, whoever you are, you don't get saved sitting there after you being stubborn. Now, I'm not saying God can't save you. The Lord saves on aircraft carriers. The Lord saves Brother Mike Stokes. Y'all know the young preacher Stokes, Andrew, his uncle, didn't get saved till he was 21. He said he wasn't going to go to the altar. He guaranteed he didn't. Hell would freeze over before he went to the altar. Down at Parkwood Missionary Baptist Church, he was 22 years old. He stepped out. He said, "I can't stand it no more." He stepped out of the aisle to come seek the Lord. The Lord saved him when he stepped in the aisle.
Amen.
You know, tell you what that is. That's surrender. You don't get saved your way. You get saved God's way. God knows your heart. He loves you. I tell you what he'll do. He'll bring you to the point of trusting him, but you'll have to do the surrender. A lot of these folks, this tulip method and this Calvinist thinking is you're going to get saved whether you want to or not. I don't believe it. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. Let me tell you something, folks. You got a say in the matter whether you get saved. And that's your effort to come and seek and find him. Precious to you. So let me tell you how I know that. Let me prove it and I'll hush. I wonder why the Lord put, or God Almighty put, the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. If he did want you to have a free will in the matter. The way to keep your will out of it is just forget the tree. And just say you're going to be a bunch of robots. But you know what he wanted? He wanted you and me to want to. And I want to. Don't you? Yeah. He wants you to want to, sinner friend. Want to on down here and find Jesus. Now he'll save your soul. He'll turn you upside down so many different ways and it'll all be good. Trust me. But you've got to come to him. So it's up to you. Alright? Church, a heart desire and prayer to God is for Israel. Is that they might be saved. You know who your Israel is? Your neighbor and your family, your grandkids, your nephews, your nieces.
Amen.
You know what? One more call. One more come on and you keep coming. Okay? Oh, I tell you what. Thank the Lord for the church, because there wouldn't be no hope for Johnny Conner had it been for the church. God bless you. Love you, church. And be the church. Way we be the church is we make sure the gospel goes forth. Yeah. May God help you today as we sing a verse of a song or two. If God's dealing with your heart, I want to say this in closing. Someone said, "Well, how do you know for sure that the Lord's dealing with you?" How many times I've heard moms and dads say, "Brother Johnny, the Lord's dealing with me. I don't know what to say." I said, "Well, can I ask you a question?" I said something this about that Sunday. "Did you know when you were lost?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." Well, so
glad.
Yeah. If they're wondering if they're lost, they're probably not lost. Okay? Share with them how you felt when you were lost.
Amen.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'll never forget. I'd walk in, when I was under conviction, I'd walk in the church house and I'd go, "Oh, no, they've been praying again. I can feel it."
Yeah.
I just had to walk in the church house and I could tell they've been a praying. Oh, Lord, tell them to stop. But, oh, I'm glad they did.
Amen.
Because that convicting power brought me to a place. The Lord did, where he helped me surrender, and then he saved my soul. He'll do that for you tonight, too. May God bless you. I appreciate you hearing me.
Let's sing a song, Brother Allen.
34.
If you'll stand together, if you want to come pray, I'd love to pray with you. May God bless you. Thank you for hearing me.